On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
com/tallcanaudio. Make sure you're subscribed and following wherever you're listening to this. My name's Matt Robinson. Got a great guest here with us today, but before that, we're going to hit you with a mediocre guest to help me tease things. Amy Burke, what's happening?
Oh, I felt a mediocre.
Yeah. Well, Maddie Lang's been wrestling hard to claim that he is still the top guest on the network. Often our downloads suggest that you might be the top guest on the network. I'm throwing you both in the dirt for today's guest. James Duthy of TSN is here with us today. This is going to be a ton of fun. Man, James is the voice or the face of Canadian sport. When you turn on a World Junior Hockey Championship, it's James Duthy. When you think of that 2010 Olympic golden goal, James Duthy is the guy that tees it up on and runs that panel. Grey Cups. The NBA Finals, when the Raptors get in there, the Masters. James Duthy does it all. He is the sports guy now in this country, probably having taken over from Brian Williams. We could argue all day as to when exactly that transition happened, but I don't think there's any question now that he is the guy. This is going to be pretty fun, Amy.
Yeah, man, I'm totally excited to hear it. You know, I don't get an inside listen before everybody else, so I'm pumped.
Yeah, no, and you know what? This is probably, you know, it kind of fell as a coincidence. We reached out to James a week or two ago, just asked if he'd be willing to come on, and he said yes right away, like no hesitation. Just said, let's see if we can find a time that works together, and we did. And then I got to thinking, like, when are we going to release this? And honestly, with everything that's going on, Amy, the pandemic, and we got murder hornets or something now that are showing up, like the world is completely falling apart. The fact that this was our
might
fifth...
as well listen to a good guy while it is falling
honestly,
apart.
Honestly, the fact that this was our fifth anniversary really snuck up on me. Like, he wasn't brought on to be the fifth anniversary guest. It just, he was here and we did it. And I'm like, well, which day should I drop it? And I'm looking at the calendar, like, oh, fuck, look at that. So... 5 years. When you think James Duthy, is there a specific event that stands out or, you know, something that jumps out at you? You're a Canadian athlete. You've been all over the world. Half the time you're on the road when the big things happen because you're a part of the big thing, you know, often as not.
Yeah. You know what? It's just, there's something about his voice. Like, I love his voice. He is just, when I hear him, I just automatically think of like Canada,
yeah,
and sports.
And like this, this thing is a big thing. This one must matter.
Yeah. And I mean, like you said, like the Grey Cups and whatnot, like I just started getting into the CFL a few years ago when we had season tickets. Mm-hmm. And when I didn't make it to pretty much any games last season, I turn it on TSN and there's James Duthy and or the World Juniors. You know, everyone gets on board with that every Christmas. And it's just, I don't know. He's just, he's a great guy to listen to. I listen to his podcast.
Yeah.
Like he's just, he's funny and
oh, a ton of personality. Yeah.
I don't get bored with him. Like he's just,
and that is a big thing. Yeah. That I did ask him about, so I won't spoil too much of it, but yeah, the idea that, you know, are you consciously aware? Can you tell in studio that this thing I'm hosting right now, you know, maybe normally I'm speaking to a million viewers. Today I'm speaking to 11 million viewers or whatever it might be, right? Can you get a sense for how big this is? Because I think the viewer does. I think, you know, we know he does the random Tuesday night Leafs versus, you know, Rangers game or whatever it might be. But on a Sunday afternoon and the Grey Cup comes on or the Masters is on or the NBA Finals, the Olympics, the World Juniors, like the World Juniors especially, you mentioned it, right? Every Christmas, everyone gets into it. It's family time. So you always have family around. It's going to be a big game. And that guy's always on in the background. Like, I can't tell you how many New Year's Eve parties I've had that James Duthie's been present at. He doesn't know he's present, but we know he's present. It's just...
Yeah, well, and there's other things. Like, I was just trying to think of it. You know, there's the NHL deadline every year.
Yeah.
The free agent frenzy, like...
Mm-hmm. 9 hours straight.
Like, so it's just, it's crazy. Like, nah, I'm like, I mean, I've said it, I'm pumped to hear it. And I think it's awesome that you managed to get him.
This is a good guest for us. We're excited about that. I'm also now able to let everybody know we have hooked up another guest for next week. Another member of the TSN broadcast crew. Another guy who has been to almost every big event you can think of, whether it be Grey Cups, Olympics, NHL, like major NHL games. For me, the best in the business in terms of play-by-play, Chris Cuthbert is going to be on the show as we kick off our second 5 years. He's going to be on the show next week. We just got that set up the other day. For me, Amy, this one might be just as big as James Duthie. I don't think there's anybody better in the business in terms of calling a game right now than Chris Cuthbert.
No, yeah, and like, yeah, he's made so many big calls. You know, there's the Olympic golden goal.
Yeah.
Well,
all the Grey Cups, it's always him and you know, that is, I don't know, he's at everything. Back in the day, he did Blue Jays games on CBC. He could do figure skating. He's done Olympic, like, rowing and canoeing. Like, to me, it's not just the way he calls a hockey game. It's the fact that you can drop him into any sport, and he's going to go, yeah, okay, I can call this. I can do this. Like, that is an unbelievable talent to call hockey games all winter and then just, like, the drop of a hat turn and start calling football games like it's no problem.
I could definitely tell you that I could not do that.
I agree.
I probably couldn't even call once.
I agree. You could not call once. Yeah, so really excited that we're going to have Chris Cuthbert next week. Amy, this is our fifth anniversary. When we started this in May 2015, it was 51515. May 15th, 15 was the reason we decided. Really, it was going to drop at some point. We just found a funny quirk in the schedule. On the first day, Rob and myself recorded the worst podcast you've ever heard in your life. Episode 1 of Audio Whiplash was the most stiff and boring and awful show anyone has ever heard.
So you're promoting it really well here.
Yeah. Well, it was 5 years ago. It was episode 1. I'm not going to help you people find it, but it's out there. I can't listen to it. Rob and I, a few months ago, I asked Rob if he'd ever gone back and listened to it, and he said, oh, God, no. It's awful, and I have no idea why any of you who heard that show came back for episode 2 or 3 or 4. But if any of you are out there who have heard them all or who heard episode 1 and are still here now, God love you. It was rough getting started. The sound quality was trash. You would swear Rob and I had never met each other. It was like, and my usual, you know, my co-host today will be Rob Christie. How are you? It's like, I'm fine, thank you. How are you, Matt? I'm like, holy fuck. Like, this is terrible. And somehow we turned it into something pretty decent. We've built a good audience here. We've built a nice little family of co-hosts. Rob is certainly the one who sits in on the most of these. Matty Lang seems to draw the tough shifts when it's 10:30 at night and the Leafs have blown a Game 7 lead or something. It's Matty that gets forced to come on and do these. Amy has been on a pile of times and has built her own little audience, and people that now message us relentlessly wanting to know how Amy's doing in a sport that they barely understood until she came on. It's been a lot of fun. Amy, I think Nate Sager was our first ever Tall Can Sports guest, but you were our first ever Audio Whiplash guest. That was Audio Whiplash number 10. We sat at my dining room table with that one microphone in the middle of the table back at my old apartment.
Yes, I remember that.
Had a couple of pints that day and just talked about your career. And you were gearing up at that point for Toronto 2015. So 5 years later, you've been in and out and, you know, on and off in terms of how often you're on. But here from pretty close to day one.
It's crazy that it's been 5 years already, that's for sure. Like, it definitely doesn't feel like it's been that long. But then when I also think about it, I feel like you've been around forever.
Well, I have. The problem is, I've always been yelling my opinions into your ear. It just wasn't always on a show.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been cool to see, you know, when you travel wherever now to a major competition and you've been on the show beforehand to talk about it, you know, the mail that we now get from across the country, you know, wishing Amy luck, wanting to, you know, it's amazing the attachment or the relationship you can build up with the listeners pretty quick. And that's been one of the coolest part of this.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that's awesome. Like, I'm still convinced no one likes me, or no one likes it when I come on.
Nobody likes
different,
me.
So.
Yeah.
No one likes me. I don't have any friends.
We do great numbers when Amy comes on. There's something about your personality and your brilliant grasp of the language that you just demonstrated there that,
Shut up.
That's fair.
Just for that, I'm not going to sing you happy birthday.
I think we're all fine with that. It's a good thing that we recorded this interview with James before he heard this intro. He may not have agreed to come on, but here we are, 5 years in. We got hopefully at least five more to go.
No, easily.
We will see how these things come together. Would have been great to have been able to do something with all our usual guests, Amy and Maddie and Rob and stuff, in studio. Just wasn't possible with how things have shaken loose and how the pandemic has treated everything. But this has come together pretty well in terms of the guests that we have. Really excited to welcome to the show James Duthie. So on our fifth anniversary of Tall Can Audio, we're happy to present that interview to you right now. So, pleased to welcome to the show from TSN, James Duthie. We didn't tell him this ahead of time because we thought he'd turn and run, but in the spirit of free agent frenzy or trade center, we have about 8 hours of questions lined up for James Duthie on Mikko Lehtinen to the Leafs. James, Bobby Orr or Paul Coffey, go.
I'm hanging up now.
Yeah, I get that.
I have PTSD from that, right? So anytime anybody makes references to trade deadline, free agent frenzy, I start to sweat and break out in some sort of awful, awful warts and things.
I can only imagine. Not actually a whole lot to say on the guy. And you know, things are changing so fast. The NHL right now is looking at, you know, when they're going to do their draft and what they're going to play and stuff. I think it's all going to change pretty fast. So if it's cool with you, I'd like to ask you about some things that I'm hoping you get asked about a little less often than your normal gig, if you could.
Matt, I would appreciate that a great deal. It's not that I don't enjoy, you know, talking about all those things, but, you know, when you do it all day, you sit there with the insiders, and I just got off doing that segment today, and we do phone calls before the segments and everything. So I am very interested in all this stuff because
sure.
I'm a massive hockey fan, but when the day's over, I don't want to spend 4 hours looking at the logistics of what cities are going to be hosting these bubble playoffs.
Well, I can only imagine that's true. One of the things that I always told myself, if I ever had a chance to talk to you, I wanted to touch on was, in your book, you have some really questionable urinal etiquette. And you mentioned, now you've got a couple books out, and you'll correct me, I think you have another one coming in the fall.
I do, thank you.
Yeah.
Free plug. Beauty's Hockey's Greatest Untold Stories.
There you go. pre-sale yet? Anything that we can?
it's coming. It's coming.
All right. So one of the things that you mentioned, and I think it stems from a story where you're in the same washroom as Tiger Woods, wishing him luck, was something that we're all pretty comfortable doing. But you said you got to take the middle one, and that's
middle urinal.
That's terrible. That's terrible. No,
that's
urinal.
That's the only way. That's the only way to be. What are you one of those guys that takes the corner ones?
Well, I know what you're insinuating. You got something to hide. You're kind of tucking
that's
away.
The whole point.
So yours is a power move when you take the middle one.
Right. It's a flex.
Okay.
Not a literal flex.
No. Flex. You got to keep relaxed in there, stage fright kinds of things going on. My understanding, the etiquette was always, you take a side one so that if someone else comes in behind you, you're not standing shoulder to shoulder. You got to give a little space.
No, I disagree completely. I just think when you're in there alone, you want to be the man in the middle, right? It's like you're the goose at the top of the V. Right. Flying south. That's what you want to be. You want to lead the crowd. And so that's the way, even though the urinals are, I've never been in a urinal situation where it was in a V formation.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
That'd be weird. oddly shaped bathroom.
Anybody who doesn't know that story is going to be like, what the hell are these clowns talking about?
Okay, so fair enough.
I'm not going to tell it.
Yeah.
It's Tiger Woods next to a urinal. I've told it a million times. Yeah. It's in the book. There's another reason to buy the book.
There you go. And I think it's in both books, isn't it?
Probably. The guy on the left and what's the day I almost killed two rescues. Did I tell that? There's a bit of overlap in there. I am not repeating any stories in the in the third book, I promise.
Well, we'll see. We'll proofread and find out. the other thing that I think we need to talk about is I'm the guy who sits here in front of, on a good week, a couple of thousand people, and talks to, a couple thousand craft beer loving sports fans. You're the guy who hosts Olympic Games in front of millions. How did you end up kind of treading in our little podcast space? You're now the Rubber Boots podcast, you and Puffy and Lester and Stoff.
Right.
Really fun listen all the time. Is that something that TSN says to you they'd like you to do, or is it, something you're interested in?
That's a great question. I think what actually happened was, if anybody listens to the Jay and Dan podcast, the producer is a guy named Christoph Mamona, or if you listen to my podcast, Christoph. So Christoph produced the original Jay and Dan podcast, and I'll give Jay and Dan credit. They were sort of when they started their podcast, I didn't even know what podcasting was. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? And if you were ever to go back, I think I guested probably on episode 6 or 5 of that podcast when Jay was away. And I really had no idea what the hell was going on. I'm like, why? What is this? Why are you doing this, Dan? Who are you even talking to? I was like the old man, screaming at trees. And so I still didn't get – I wasn't really into it very much. And then when Jay and Dan left, Christoph came to me and said, you should really do a podcast. And I guess there was a hole in his life when they went down to Fox. And I was just too busy, frankly, and I just kind of shrugged it off for a couple of years. And then he kept asking me. And I think when Bob started his short-lived Bobcast
– Yeah.
I think Christoph stopped me in the hall and said, look, if Bob McKenzie's doing a podcast, you better do a podcast. And so that's when I started to do it. And I didn't want to do a hockey podcast per se. I just wanted, if I was going to do one of these, I just wanted it to be literally about nothing. I just wanted it to be like three guys or four guys having a beer and whatever the random stuff they would talk about. That's what I wanted it to be. And, calling it the Rubber Boots podcast was probably the stupidest idea ever for marketing, but I don't really care.
Yeah.
Even though we have sponsors, we're not out to make, I'd like to make some money for Christoph and Puffy and guys like that, but it's more just about hanging out. And that's the roundabout ways of how I got into it.
And it's a lot of fun. Like for people who don't listen, like you took the guys down to Turks and Caicos and did a couple of, that got my co-host a little annoyed that I've never offered anything close to that. I took him to the cottage once. We recorded once up there, but not quite the same.
That was a bit of a freakish, if you listen to the podcast, that's my place where I like to go, just the most beautiful beaches and water in the world. And a big Ottawa Senators fan owns one of the resorts down there. And, he had emailed me once and they ended up sponsoring the podcast. And really the whole sponsorship of the podcast was about this one trip to stay at this luxurious villa. But it was a real kick for me to, you know, get guys like Christoph and Lester who, you know, have never, don't get away much because mm-hmm. they work so hard and wouldn't get to stay at a place like that. And I mean, I don't get to stay at places like that very often. So it was, yeah, it was very cool. Except the podcasting was, I felt a little embarrassed because when I went down there, I'm like, okay, guys, you know, we got to do a whole bunch of podcasts. And then, first of all, Puffy was so drunk the whole time. And then, you know, we were having so much fun that, you know, we'd get to 1 o'clock in the morning and you'd be, oh, we haven't done any podcasting yet. And so it was just an absolute shit show when it started.
Yeah, you're well past your own best before date.
We're exhausted and drunk, and it was just terrible.
Yeah. Entertaining listens. A lot of edits, but maybe to be expected.
A lot of edits. I literally listened on the plane. You know, I just tape these things. When we do the podcast, we do them in studio at you know, a pretty decent studio at the station. But when we do them on location like that, I literally just do it into my iPhone, into the voice memo folder. We don't even use a microphone. And so we were listening on the way back on the plane ride home. Christoph was sitting in front of me, and I tapped him. I said, "We're so screwed because this thing is just terrible." But he was able to salvage it, as he often does.
Well, we have the same. Well, I can't say we've been on a flight back from Turks and Caicos, but we're trying to keep our little show going here right now. And I'm at, you know, I'm a novice producer. I can put this kind of thing together. That's about it. Mm-hmm. Now we've been forced out of studio. So my co-host is out in Canada, you know, 20 minutes or whatever from here. And we do these over Skype or whatever. And he kind of hangs up and goes, "All right, that was a good one." And I'm like, "No, this is terrible. Like, I'm going to be up all night trying to..." Just the sound of Skype and the delays and lags. It's not.
Right.
I mean, he's got no clue, right? But he just, I'm sure the same way Christoph or Stoff, whatever, the way he feels, right? It just gets thrown onto him. Here, make something out of this.
Yeah, here, make it work. Yeah. See you later. We talk for 45 minutes and Stoff has left with the 20 hours of editing or whatever that it takes.
I know as a kid, or I believe I know as a kid, you were an Expos fan.
Yes, massive.
Yeah. So over the last several months, maybe a little longer than that, there's been some reports out there that maybe Tampa and Montreal might be preparing to split the team, kind of half the season in Tampa, half the season in Montreal. I kind of at first thought it was ridiculous. There's no way this is real. And then it kind of blew back up again over the winter. And there was some discussions. As someone who grew up loving the original Expos, are you even mildly interested in sharing a team?
Not really, just because I just think it's weird and it's never really your team. It's kind of a half pregnant thing. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. That would be the one thing that would get me back into baseball, is if the Expos actually came back. Mm-hmm. Baseball is probably the strangest relationship I have with any sports in my life. And I've never really sat back and psychoanalyzed myself because
that's,
you know,
a scary measure for anybody.
but I'm like you. You know, I'm like most guys and girls who love sports.
Set that up, right? How do you allow him to do it? They should, by their own admission, suspend him for either the last game before the All-Star break or the first one after.
Yeah, okay. I have no problem with that. Black and white. To me,
they're not gonna.
To me, it comes down, well, because he wasn't voted in.
Ovechkin?
No, Larkin.
I'm back on Ovechkin.
Okay,
right?
But he did miss a game. He was suspended last year. Wasn't it him?
Might have been. They've done this with Datsyuk before.
Somebody was suspended last year, and I thought it was Ovechkin. It was the game.
It was Ovechkin, because I remember
it's a dying sport.
It badly needs overhauling. There's no doubt about that. In terms of pace of play and things like that. But let's not get bogged down there. Let's move along to the actual fight weekend. I did find it interesting just in terms of how things were going to run around the octagon. They had the play-by-play guy and the color guys at different tables. There's a picture that we have up right now at Tall Can Audio on Instagram of Michael Buffer. He's got the big boy voice that announces all the fighters and all the results. And there's a picture of him sitting there in a mask before the fights start. And I guess the way it ran was that once the first two guys who were going to fight were into the octagon, the next two were to arrive at the building and they would have space to warm up on their own with their fight teams. And once those guys were in place in their warm-up spot at the arena, there was another two guys that were supposed to be in place for their pickup at the hotel. So they were trying to keep the numbers in the building very low. And you keep this cycle going. Once one fight is over, the guys who are in the warm-up spots in the arena move out to the octagon to fight. Those guys who were in place at the hotel are shuttled over to the arena into the warm-up spot, and the next two guys move into these spaces at the hotel. So they did do, I think, everything that you could expect in terms of trying to keep numbers down, keep people isolated as best you could. It was interesting to watch how this went. Now, I don't know if you noticed or not, there was a couple times, certainly in the prelims, where I don't know if Joe Rogan had forgotten or just didn't care, but he was getting up pretty close to those fighters for the post-fight.
He was shaking hands.
And I did catch, I can't remember which fight, it was on the pay-per-view where someone went to shake his hand and then pulled back and he's like, ah, it's fine, I don't care, and reached out and shook his hand. That's a bad look on the UFC. If Joe thinks that's safe because all these guys have been isolated and tested and everything, I get it. But just for your PR, like, you shouldn't do it, right? Like, on TV like that, you shouldn't be shaking hands with people.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Rogan also had Elon Musk on his podcast the other day, where Elon Musk is, you know, has completely changed his mind on the virus and is like, let's open it all back up.
He needs his people back to work.
Yeah, how funny how things change at that point, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, Joe Rogan's got his own opinions, and I think from the overall, he had Brendan Schaub on before the fight weekend that I was listening to, and you know, he was talking about how things were going to be different and how it was going to be hard to not do some of those old habits.
Yeah,
but again, I think it goes back to most.
It's
people,
just image.
It's image, but it's also the UFC's image.
Yeah, I don't know. I again, if Joe Rogan thinks the whole thing is being overblown and things are safe and whatever, that's fine. I'll be surprised if by the time the next one comes around, which I think is like Wednesday, there's a fight night out of the same arena. If Disney or somebody like that hasn't come down and said, I don't care what your personal belief is, you're not going to do that on TV anymore. Like, I think they're very worried PR wise, and I can't say I blame them, right? Like, this is still really sensitive. Yeah. What did you think of the card itself, man? Like, it's nice that we actually have real sports to talk about. Today is 60 days since we've had any action in any of the four major leagues in terms of the NFL, the NBA, MLB, or the NHL. That is the longest stretch since May through September or October of 1919. That was 74 days between the end of the NHL, game eight of the 1919 World Series until the start of the next. Nope, I blew that. Sorry. So it was from the end of, the baseball season to the hockey season. There was no NFL yet, no NBA yet. We had 74 days. This is the longest streak since then. So the UFC, maybe not one of those top four, but it'd be right there knocking on the door. Nice to actually have some sports to talk about. What'd you think of the card?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing about a fight card is it could go really badly very quickly. And it was good.
Yeah, you just never know.
Yeah, I mean, it's so dependent on so many things. There was a lot of quick knockouts. You know, you always want one or two as a fight fan, right? Like, you always want one or two. That's why you show up to watch this. There were some really great storylines. I mean, Ngannou, that was just a vicious knockout. I know, you know.
So Francis Ngannou, knocks out his guy within like a minute. And you know what that looked like, man? That was like early 90s WWF when they're like debuting somebody new, like Yokozuna comes in or Giant Gonzalez comes in and they're like, here's some dink with no name you've never heard of before in your life. And you do like one move to him, hit your finisher and then go home. That's what Francis Ngannou did last night on that show. Just bang, bang, down.
Except he did it to a top 10 fighter on the planet.
Exactly. Man. It was incredible.
I mean, that guy is clearly just a... He's like a Terminator.
He's got this like soft voice. this little French accent. I think he fights at a Cameroon.
Yes.
And he just seems like the most pleasant guy in the world afterwards when he's being interviewed. And you're like, you fucking monster. You killed that guy.
Which is slightly more psychotic and scary, right? The fact that he goes into being a nice person.
It is, man. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. That was a highlight for me. Pettis and the Cowboy fight, the last of the prelims, the free prelims. That was an interesting fight. I think Cowboy's at the end of his rope.
Yeah.
Pettis may be hitting a second wind in his career, but I think, you know, Cowboy is a guy who's never backed down from a fight. And if he's not up there in the top two number of fights, period, in the UFC, I'd be surprised. And I know he's very high in the win columns as well, but I think he just, you know, there's only so many hits you can take and only so many knockouts you can take. And
let him down. Matthews was not dangerous in that game. So the Penguins win and Sid doesn't score, but he makes, in my opinion, it's a quiet statement, but he makes a statement before he leaves Toronto.
And a strong goaltender. And that was kind of holding them in. And they had enough up front on the first line and a half-ish.
Sure.
And that was kind of holding them in games. And it was, you know, the experience piece. Now they're just...
And on defense a little bit. Like, Muzzin's fine. Martinez is fine, right? But Phaneuf is now a $7 million third pair guy. Like, they're... And slow. And so, I mean, there's... I don't know. Like...
So Anaheim, Anaheim hasn't really switched either, but
right.
So Edmonton fucked up and they said, okay, we got to get
this in basketball or as bad as the Toronto fans in hockey.
Sure.
And I say this with a grain of salt because I was always a Kyle Lowry guy over DeRozan guy. He's the one jersey I have in the city. He was always my guy.
Yeah.
He is having an unbelievable
locker room.
Smashing their brooms. Hey guys.
What does that look like? What is too drunk to curl? I thought that was part of your warm-up.
See, the reality was, because they posted before and afters, right?
Yeah.
It was pictures of them, you know, having a couple of bevvies before the game, which I think is fine, right?
Sure.
Clearly, you got, to me, it's not too drunk like they're falling down.
Right.
To me, it's they got drunk and agitated and
yeah, no one started being assholes to
going to a brothel.
No, not at all. I think we've probably talked about, we were what, fucking dolls in some, behind some public school in Toronto a couple of weeks ago.
You were bringing out all your fleshlights, and I had to tell you, this is just there's not a visual medium here.
Yeah, no, they're all lined up right here on the desk, man, getting ready to move. I got to pack them up and decide which ones are making it to the new studio.
Not good enough,
yeah.
Flick, not good enough.
What is that on the side? That,
yep.
Get that out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
I was reading, I've talked about Jim Norton on this show before. He's a stand-up comedian and he talks about taking trips to Brazil because their brothels are world-renowned and they're like nightclubs. And he said, you go in and you like check in all your clothes and shit and they give you like a really nice robe. And then you go in